West Sacramento, KRXQ HD2 Sacramento. ESPN 1320, Sacramento's sports leader. Always live on the Odyssey app. Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil behind the glass. We are the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube, and we're taking you up to noon on ESPN 1320. That is Sacramento Sports Leader. At noon, we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC. No D'Lo today, so just KC and friends. But still excited for that. Can't wait. We've also got Kings Clippers tonight, which we'll get to in a moment. We'll have keys to victory here coming up. But did you watch any of the Minnesota Memphis game last night?
I did not.
So I turned it on in the third quarter, and Minnesota's up like 13. And that's, you know, you'd want to be up by 13 in the third quarter, but that's by no means like this insurmountable lead. They get it to 22 in the fourth quarter. And you're like, all right, Minnesota's in a good spot. But keep in mind, this is a team that just blew a 24-point lead with 9 minutes to go.
Mm-hmm.
Or 10 minutes to go the other day against Milwaukee. And Memphis got it down to like 13. Was something in the 5 minute range left? It was like, oh no, it's going to happen again. Like the collapse is happening again. And then the Timberwolves were able to stave off the comeback. They win 141-125. I was so deeply concerned for Minnesota watching that game. Because if you smoke two consecutive 20 plus point leads in under 10 minutes, you want to talk about firing people with only a game or two to go? you might have had to let Chris Finch out of there at that point.
Well, that, and I mean, they're so close to the other group of teams, or they were. They were the one team that was a game behind everybody. You had to get this game. You know, they're still in it. Again, we keep saying this, but the difference between them being a seven seed and having to fight through the play-in to get into the play-in, the playoffs, and them being a six seed, it's still right there. I mean, now at this point, they're tied with Memphis and they're tied with the Warriors for six. Mm-hmm. Like, that's why every one of these games matters. And the last thing you want to do is have a weird anomaly happen in the last week of the season where you start losing huge leads, and that could be who you are, not only this week, but next week when the playoffs start. Yeah. And if that's who you are, that's bad. You don't want to go.
That's just so demoralizing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally. You don't want to go into next week with this little thing in the back of your head like, oh, man, we've blown a bunch of leads lately. That's bad.
Yeah, the Timberwolves now 47-33. They're tied with the Grizzlies and Warriors. But the Timberwolves are currently the eighth seed.
Mm-hmm.
Grizzlies 7, Golden State 6. Yeah, if Minnesota smokes that lead last night, now not only are they 46-34, which would have taken them... it wouldn't have mathematically eliminated them from the playoffs, but it would have been really, really close. They would have needed a ton of help. But on top of what you're saying, where now all of a sudden you're behind in the standings with this giant boulder hanging out over your shoulder like, hey, you've smoked two 20-point leads in the fourth quarter in back-to-back games. That would have been a really, really brutal loss for Minnesota.
Yeah.
They pulled it out. And now they get Brooklyn and Utah to close the year.
Yeah, so again, now it sets them up to be the sixth seed in the play-in, in the playoffs. That's what that win does. I mean, if you botch that, you're two games back with two games left to go, and your opportunity to catch everybody is gone, and now you are a play-in team. And sure, you can have confidence that you can beat the Sacramento Kings, but the Kings have also bit them a couple of times. So, yeah, I mean, that it just like puts them in a whole different stratosphere, especially with the final two games. Now they can't slip up and lose to a bad team in the last week of the season. But this win specifically, I think it also puts Memphis in a spot where most of us thought Memphis would be, you know, 2 weeks ago when they decided to fire their head coach.
Yeah. Now Memphis has to go play Denver in a matchup of the teams with new head coaches.
Can't
wait to see how that one works out. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil behind the glass. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Kings Clips tonight at Golden One Center. Man, you want to talk about coaching, by the way. I feel like Ty Lue doesn't get included in the best NBA head coaches conversation enough, but I think he's there. If we're including Greg Popovich is obviously a legend. Eric Spoelstra is in that conversation. I think a lot of people will include Steve Kerr in that conversation. I don't think Ty Lue gets brought up enough, though.
Yeah,
Ty Lue is an awesome basketball coach.
He is. And when you're talking about best X's and O's guys, you have to throw in Rick Carlisle. Like, there are really, really good coaches, but Ty Lue is one of those guys that just stands out. And not only that, but his staff is like spectacular. He's got Jeff Van Gundy. He's got Brendan O'Connor. He's got Brian Shaw. You know, Larry Drew is on his staff. Jay Laranga is on his staff. They put so much money into the extras that a great team should do. And for me, that's what separates, you know, again, Ballmer from so many other owners.
Yep.
You can spend a bunch of money on players and you can go over the luxury tax and you can do all that, right? And sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. But if you really want to support a team, especially an aging team, you better go out and have a great training staff. You better go out and have a great medical staff. You better go out and pay head coaches to be assistants, which is what this is. Like, I don't know how many of these guys have head coaching experience, but I'm going to guess it's like four. And that to me is pretty spectacular.
I will never understand. This is a bigger conversation. I want to get to keys to victory here in a second, but I'll never understand. I mean, I understand it, right? It's a money-making venture for a lot of these guys, but the team owners that don't do everything they can to win.
Yeah.
It's so frustrating to me that there are so many owners, and this is not a conversation about any team in particular. This is across sports. Mm-hmm. There are so many owners that are just fine with, yeah, no, we're just going to make money hand over fist, and the on-field product or on-court product, as long as we're not 0-16 or 0-17 in the NFL, or as long as we're not, you know, bottom dwellers every year in the NBA, we'll be kind of competitive if necessary. I'll never understand it.
Yeah, I don't get it either. I mean, you have an opportunity to support an entire group of players the right way, and if you don't do it and you lose because of that, it's never made any sense to me. Like, you have to be firing on all cylinders, and that's why having a great front office that, again, searches and has a budget to go get the right people, and it's everything. It's player performance, it's media relations, it's all of it. All of it plays in together, and if you're not spending the money or if you're not getting the right people in place, it can totally derail everything, and you don't even think about it. Like, oh, that couldn't possibly impact winning on the court. No, it does.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
It absolutely does. Let's get to keys to victory for a Kings win tonight against the Los Angeles Clippers. Golden 1 Center is where that game is happening. The penultimate game of the regular season. James Hamm, Joe, do you have your buttons ready? My man, number one.
Play like this is a playoff game. You have to go for the win. Like, the Kings have been in the playoffs basically every game, meaning the value of it is equal to a playoff game for like the last four or five games. You got to show up, and this is a big, big moment for this team still. And also, you know, you got to show up at home. Like, this team has not been good at home, and it's a good opportunity to not only put your foot down and say, hey, look, we're still here, but we're here and we're going to represent, you know, our community, our franchise the right way.
Yeah, man. It's like, we talk about vibes all the time and culture building, and this is that. This is exactly what you're talking about. Treat this as if you're the team fighting for the number three seed.
You know what their home record is, Kyle?
What is it?
19-20. Their road record is 20-21. Their home record, they win the next two games, they're 500 at home.
Come on.
They're above 500 at home.
Come on.
Yeah.
It's big time. Number one for me. There it is. I need ball movement against a good defensive team.
Mm-hmm.
This is not let's just go ISO and figure it out because they have too many good defenders. They have too many guys who are going to double and get their hands into passing lanes if you try and pass out of that double. I need ball movement today. I need player movement today. I need those things and see if you can find little creases and cracks in this defense. Because if you try and sit there and everybody's stagnant, and whether it's Zach LaVine or Domas or DeMar DeRozan or Keon Ellis or whoever, if they're trying to just create one-on-one constantly, you're going to have a really, really hard time putting the ball in the basket.
Yeah, I agree. And to that point, don't watch what they're doing because they play a lot of ISO ball. Don't just get in some weird, like, 1990s, you know, like, New York Knicks versus Miami Heat battle. Like, go out there and, like, play the game the way it's the modern game. Like, move the ball, share the ball, get everybody involved. This seems just way better when they do that.
Yep, no doubt. Number two.
You got to limit Zubats. They have the players to do this, but, you know, this is a player that, like, look at the advanced stats. Like, people could be like, why do they keep talking about Zubats? And it's because he has been absolutely spectacular. The advanced metrics have him as, like, what, a top six player in the league? Like
he's unbelievable this year.
Yeah, he's efficient. He's a huge body. Like, he just fills up the whole lane. And if you're not on, if you're not doing your work early, keeping him away from the basket, he's going to torch you. He's, like, realistically, he's what the Memphis Grizzlies hope that Zach Edey will become. And, like, this is a very, very good player. And it's kind of out of nowhere that he's become this good. You know, he's been okay the last couple of years. He's been a solid role rotational player. But now he's, like, very, very good.
He was his career high last year, 11.7 points. His career high in rebounds was a couple years ago, 9.9. And his career high in assists was 2 years ago at 1.6. This year, 16.7 points, 12.6 boards, 2.7 assists, and over a block a game.
That's crazy.
Just a significant leap as a 27-year-old with the Clippers. Really, really cool to see for him. Limiting him if he does play, I'm with you, man. He's really, really tough, but you got to figure it out. Because if you can keep him from having like a double-double,
yeah.
That's a big deal for how the Clippers have been able to operate. The other thing is James Harden does a really good job of finding him in space down low.
Mm-hmm.
And I think trying to front him and just trying to kind of go ball denial is going to be the way to do that. Number two for me. Make James Harden a shooter. I know that volume wise, he's made like a ton of threes, like the second most made threes all time or whatever. But I will take that. I will take him putting up 12, 13, 14 threes. I will take that over allowing him to get into the lane and start dishing out assists and drawing fouls and getting people in foul trouble and slowing the game down. I will take that. And hey, you know what? He went 8 of 14 from three. What are you going to do? I would so much rather have that than him just constantly getting into the lane, mucking the game up, because that's where they can get really, really dangerous.
Yeah, I agree. He's like an old school, you know, again, he is the original foul grifter, and he has an ability to have you off balance all the time. Now, he's not nearly as good at it as he used to be, but if you can make him into, like what you said, a jump shooter, and a lot of times that jump shot isn't on. You know, he has very bad games, and if you can keep him away from the basket, I don't know how the Kings do that because I, you know, again, if there is no Keegan Murray tonight, how are you going to do that? It should get really interesting.
Yeah, no doubt. Kawhi Leonard is just one of those guys that I keep waiting for him to just, and he's not the player he was when he carried the Raptors to a title, but he's still just really freaking awesome.
Yeah.
And I keep waiting for the year that Kawhi comes back and it's like, oh, all right, Kawhi's just not that good anymore. Like, nah, man, he's still dynamite. Number three for me. Don't leave Derrick Jones open in the corner. I don't care what you have to do. Keep a body around Derrick Jones and contest him in the corner. How many times have we watched Derrick Jones against the Kings in a big spot, 5-point game, 2 minutes left, he catches in the corner and buries a three?
Yep. He just kills him.
It's unbelievable. Every time there's a momentum-changing moment, it's Derrick Jones in the corner, and he hits the three, and then does this thing as he walks away.
Yeah, and we're like, look at that. He's wide open again.
Like, wow, look, Derrick Jones, wide open. I'm not saying stick to him like glue, like it's Steph Curry. I'm not saying that, But just close out, be close enough to close out and get a body on him. I swear, he's going to get an open corner three tonight, and it's going to make me so mad.
You know, we missed my number three.
Oh, did we?
We did. I don't challenge.
Did you not bring up Kawhi?
I did, but I brought him up in the James Harden discussion. Yeah, don't challenge Kawhi. I do not want to see a repeat of the DeMar DeRozan trying to score over Aaron Gordon thing. Kawhi Leonard's still a great defender. Do not challenge him because he will lock you up. Like, move the ball. Find the right shooter. Get somebody else open. That's all.
And Kawhi is not the perimeter defender that he was.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, if you just try and back him into the post, yeah. Or you try and back him into that 15-footer that DeMar likes on the baseline, that's not happening.
Nope.
But they're going to match up a couple of times, and I'm really looking forward to it, though.
Yeah.
Should be fun. Anyways, I'm Kyle Madsen. That's James Hamm. Joe Brazil behind the glass. Penultimate regular season game for the Kings tonight. We'll see if they can bounce back, finish the regular season strong, heading into the play-in, maybe pick up some momentum. We're following all that right here on The Insiders on ESPN 1320, 10 a.m. every day on Sacramento Sports Leader.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento Sports Leader. Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Staff outing at the hot salt bath? I'm in. Let's go. Let's go. James Hamm, Kyle, Joe Brazil, Jiffy Lube, the whole shebang. I have separated out my tiers in the West. I've redone them.
Mm-hmm.
And As I was jotting these down, as I was taking notes, I think I kind of have four tiers, but I'm going to make it a fifth one just for the sake of conversation.
Okay.
Because I think in reality, it's OKC or tier one. And then I think everyone else is tier two. And then I think the play-in teams are tier three.
That makes sense. Kind of, yeah.
Like, right? So I tried to split it up a little bit, and this is splitting hairs. Tier one remains Oklahoma City by themselves.
Okay.
Yeah, dude. I love, this is just my new bit. Tier two, I say my new bit, like I made up tiers. this revolutionary sports radio thing, I'm going to take the teams and I'm put them into tiers instead
Kyle,
of ranking them.
That's revolutionary.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a new thing we're doing. ESPN 1320, tap in. Okay, so they're the contender tier. Tier two is my, like, I can definitely see it tier.
Mm-hmm.
And there I have the Los Angeles Lakers, because they have LeBron and Luka. And apparently Austin Reeves, who's just awesome now. But that's neither here nor there. I got nothing. He's a really good player. I'm going to put the Clippers in tier two for right now.
Oh.
Okay. I'm just really impressed with how they're playing. And when we start talking about, and I started this chat because I thought it was a really good point. Terrence in the chat, salute, hello, thank you for watching, says it's crazy how we identify all the stuff to be great and the Kings don't do any of it. I think that's the Clippers do a lot of it. Mm-hmm. They have the athleticism on the wings that we talk about. They have multiple very good ball handlers and scorers in James Harden and Kawhi Leonard. They have a very, very good big in Ivica Zubac. Like, they have all of the pieces. They have a great coach and a very good coaching staff with Ty Lue and his staff. I'm just buying in on the Clippers, and I think the knock on them, and it's fair, is, well, what if Kawhi gets hurt?
Yeah.
In which case, obviously it's different, but right now he looks healthy, he's playing well, and if he's doing that, I'm going to put the Clippers there in tier two with the Lakers. And I feel good about it.
Interesting. I mean, I'm not that bought in on the Clippers. I like the Clippers. I like what they've built here.
Sure.
But again, I think with the Clippers, it's always the same thing. Like, you got to show me, because we keep doing like paper championships with them, and
sure,
they never, ever get there. You know, yeah, they end up like, you know, again, they just never figure it out and never figure out how to take the next step. And yeah, So yeah, I get it. But at the same time, I think they're, I wouldn't be shocked if somehow the Clippers end up being in the play-in tournament, or they end up being a team that gets bounced in the first round. I think they're going to be a tough out no matter what. I think they're not the team that you circle and say, I want to play that team. But I think it's because a lot of the other teams are in the midst of chaos. You know, like Denver is in chaos. You know, you could even say Minnesota is in chaos. Like, they just had their ownership change finally go through, and they've been all over the board all season long. They have not been consistently good. They've been consistently marginal. And so I think that you're probably right. Like, again, you've got your tiers, but like, Houston is a team that I think could be that good. But again, they're like a year or two away from being at that step.
So that's why Houston is in tier three. And this is my, I have a big question about them tier.
Okay.
That's Houston, Golden State, Denver, and Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
The question with Houston is what you just brought up. Like, we don't, the in theory, like, yeah, Ime Udoka, really good coach. Defensively, they've been awesome this year. You're really excited about Jalen Green and Tari Eason, and God, I'm forgetting all their dudes now. Alperen Şengün and Amen Thompson, who might be the best of all of them. You're really excited about that group, and then they have the veterans. They got Jeff Green, and they got Fred VanVleet, and they got Dylan Brooks. Like, Ime Udoka, I think I mentioned, very, very good coach. But also, this is, I the question I have about Houston is the question I had about the Kings 2 years ago, the question I had about Oklahoma City last year.
Mm-hmm.
There's steps to this, and if Houston made this run, I wouldn't be like, jaw on the floor, can't believe this happened. But they're a team we haven't seen, this particular group, this is a team we haven't seen make a playoff run before. So until they do that, it's going to be a question mark for me.
Well, that and Kyle, when I just said it with the Clippers, right? No one wants to play the Clippers in the first round. Nobody wants to play the Lakers, and probably nobody wants to play the Golden State Warriors. Everybody wants to play the Houston Rockets. And it's not because they don't have talent. I said it before the season. I think this is the most talented team in the NBA. Like, young talent-wise, this team has so much talent. I think there's more talent in Houston than there is in OKC. That doesn't mean it ever gets realized. It doesn't. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, when you're looking at this team, there is a way that teams organically grow and get better and become contenders. And they might be a year, they might be 2 years away from that. They're going to be excellent as long as they don't make some detour, which they very well could do this offseason, take some ridiculous detour with some overpriced, like, former superstar and cost you so much of your young talent and your draft picks. This team is built to be great, and they have all of these assets. So if they do need to go get a big-time player, they've got the, like, whatever they need to go get it, whether it's young players, whether it's salary filler, whether it's a veteran, whether it's, you know, again, three first-round picks. They have all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. But they also need to wait a year to make sure that they don't already have all the ingredients they need.
Yeah. Golden State is my other team with a big question mark. And the big question mark for me with Golden State is all their role players.
Mm-hmm.
When Jimmy Butler arriving in Golden State, they've been awesome since he arrived. They're like 20-4 or something silly like that. Like, they've been very, very good. But I think so much of their playoff run relies on, is Quentin Post hitting shots? Is Brandon Podziemski hitting shots? Is Moses Moody hitting shots? And, like, maybe, but that's a huge question that until I watch them do that in a playoff series, like, Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Jimmy Butler, they've all been there. They've all made runs. You're not concerned about that trio. It's everything else with the Warriors.
Yeah,
that is a huge question for me.
You didn't even mention Buddy Hield. Players that don't
on purpose.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they have a bunch of players who just haven't proven that they can do anything in the playoffs in the postseason, mm-hmm. and it makes it really difficult. You know, they're going to limp in with, like, Looney playing minutes, I think. Mm-hmm. Like, they're going to face teams that have monsters in the post. How do you deal with those players? You know, I think Post can shoot threes and, you know, maybe give you something different there. But in a Western Conference where Jokic and Zubats and You know, like the
Steven Adams.
Yes, Steven Adams. But there's even like there's Jaren so
Jackson,
many
Zach
big guys.
Edey.
Zach Edey. There's so many.
Rudy Gobert. Yeah,
big,
there's a lot
gigantic
of
dudes that you're gonna have to deal with. Even if somehow the Kings sneak in, man, that Domantas Sabonis is spectacular. Like, how are you gonna deal with that if you're the Golden State Warriors and they're
come on Looney.
Yeah,
I'm joking. No, the response to that would be, well, Draymond is an awesome defender, but I mean for 6-7 games in a couple of weeks, it for 4 rounds?
Yeah.
It's a lot to ask. Yep. It's a lot to ask. So again, maybe they make a run, but if I've got the youth question about Houston, I've got it about Golden State too. Mm-hmm. Despite their top end veterans. Denver is the other team I have a big question with, and it's because they just changed their coach.
Yeah.
I don't know what Denver, like, they looked fine against the Kings, but I have Memphis a tier below, and I'll explain why in a second, but Denver, they just changed their coach. I have no idea what they're going to look like, but the reason they're not a tier below this is because it's still Jokic. It's still Aaron Gordon. It's still Christian Brown. Like, they're still very, very talented, but I have no idea what to think of the Denver Nuggets after changing coaches.
Well, that, and I think Denver has this weird thing hanging out there about Jamal Murray and whether he's going to play, when he's going to be back, if he's going to be back, like this season. There's a lot of questions there with Murray, and if he's not there, I don't think they've got a very good shot of advancing very far. But if he comes back, he's just so good in the playoffs that you have to look at that team and go, okay, maybe.
Real quick, we can dive further into this in a minute if you want. But would you trade Zach LaVine for Jamal Murray straight across?
I'd have a tough time doing it.
I think I would too.
Yeah, I mean,
the health stuff with Jamal Murray, and then just the weird like playoffs last year and Olympics this year and the start of it like this season. I don't know. I don't trust him.
It's tough. I mean, he's way younger, you know, but he's just never, he's always at that, like, right below all-star level. And I think with Zach has taken it to all-star level multiple times. You know, he's been there twice, and I don't look at Jamal Murray as a player who has been snubbed ever. He's just not quite good enough to be an all-star, and Zach LaVine has proven, again, a couple of times that he is an all-star caliber player. And I think there is a higher ceiling. And I'm also, I would be very concerned about how either one of these guys hold up, but even Jamal Murray, it feels like it's more than one or two injuries. He's starting to break down in a very specific way that I don't think we're seeing with LaVine.
The other thing you have to consider with Jamal Murray is Zach LaVine has next year and then a player option for 26-27, correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
Jamal Murray has an extension that kicks in next year that pays him 46.3, 50.1, 53.8, and 57.5 over the next 4 years.
Nope. Not doing it. Yeah.
I don't think so either.
There's enough. If you look at the things with Denver, there's enough there that whether it's their draft pick situation or their contract situation, that you can very easily see why Calvin Booth is not there anymore. Like,
yeah, for sure.
They don't have a 25, 27, 29, or 31 first-round pick. They don't have a second-round pick in almost any of the year, and they can't trade any of their first-round picks at all. Mm-hmm. So because all of them are already, even their 2032 that they get next year, they can't trade that because their 2031 is already gone. Stepien rule blocks it.
Right. And they signed Zeke Nnaji to a 4-year deal, and now he's not even in their rotation anymore?
Yeah. I like Zeke Nnaji. He beat up the Kings last time they played.
Yeah. Zeke Nnaji for Zach LaVine straight across. Who says no? I'm joking. All right. My last team in tier 3 of the big question is Minnesota. And Minnesota's been this weird up and down team where I feel like their ceiling is really high, but my question is, how does it look with Julius Randle when you get into a 7-game playoff series? And you get into those big moments where, okay, it's tied down the stretch and it's going to be a lot of Anthony Edwards. How does Julius Randle respond to that? And how do they keep him involved? That's my big question with Minnesota.
Well, I think the biggest question is like the chemistry issues, and is he going to get in the way? Like, I'm with you. Like, yeah. I think a lot of it's just like give Ant the ball and get it out of the way. And then when he steps off the court, go ahead. Someone else can take over. But yeah. when he's on the court, like, go set screens for him. Go clear him out. Go, you know, do things that make him better. And and it's not easy because that's not who Julius Randle is. He's fighting against like who he naturally is as a player all the time.
Yeah, man. They couldn't get past Dallas last year in the conference finals, and I don't think they're better this year.
Yeah.
Like they've been playing better down the stretch and Julius Randle's fitting in a little better. But like I said, what does that look like in the playoffs? That's the question for me. Tier four, I have a bigger question with this team, and it's Memphis.
Oh, yeah.
Not only did they change their coach, but I just don't, I don't get it. I have not watched Memphis one time this year and been like, man, juggernaut. Like they've got good players.
Yeah.
And we celebrations aside, Ja Morant, when he's on, is just a pure electricity. And then Jaren Jackson's a defensive player of the year candidate, and Zach Edey's probably going to be first team all rookie. And you start to and Luke Kennard can shoot it, and Jalen Wells being out is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen Wells was really really good for them. Broken wrist, no definitive timetable for return for him. So hopefully it's sooner rather than later. But you might not. It sounds like you're not going to have him in the postseason.
Oh no! So he's done for the year for sure.
And now you have a rookie coach going into the playoffs. It's like I just didn't really see it with Memphis before Taylor Jenkins left.
Yeah.
So that's why they go into a fourth tier. Because my question with them is a little bigger than it is with the other teams.
Well, you brought it up too. I just want to like the new thing with Ja Morant. Like he's decided now he's going to use a grenade because the handgun thing or the rifle thing was out. Like, man, can you just get better people advising him? Can you just, like, can we just, like, somebody help him? Like, what's next? It's like, they say, hey, you can't do the grenade. So what is he going to, like, put on a hoodie and dark glasses and have a package like he's a Unabomber? Like, what exactly are we going to do? It just doesn't make any sense. Like, hey, how about you just stop being a fool? Just stop that. We'll just start there. If you might get suspended or fined for it, then don't do it. Like the parents' car sitting out in the driveway, you can take that car, but you're never going to drive again. Do you want to go take the car without your parents' permission, or do you not? Like, make smart decisions. It's not that hard.
We're sending you out there. I think you need to be the advisor.
Just like
we need James.
You're gonna be in Ja Morant's camp.
We need James to advise Ja. Absolutely.
Here's my thing with it. I got a little bit annoyed that everybody was calling it a finger gun celebration, because if he was doing this, like, this is finger guns to me. This is like, as a lame white guy, I know all about a finger gun, right? It wasn't that. It was very clearly like there was more to it with a guy who had previously been suspended twice for gun related things. On the other hand, a grenade is really funny.
You know, like, what though? Why don't you tell everybody this? Hey, first do this and then throw it. Oh, no, it's not a grenade. It's a water balloon. Like, that's fine. Everyone's like, hey, it's a water balloon. That's funny. But no, grenade just puts him right back in the whole thing where he's using weapons.
I thought the grenade was funny, though. I'm not. I can agree with Kyle.
It's a funny like workaround, right? Like, he's like, cool, I'm not allowed to do a rifle. I'm not allowed to do a gun. I'm not allowed to do a bazooka. I'm going to lob a grenade and see if the NBA
into
is
the
gonna
stands.
Find me for that.
Okay, but it's very
into the
like
stands.
Like, look, if the NBA says, hey,
good one, Drew,
please don't act like you're smoking a joint. And it's like, okay, we can't do like the smoking thing anymore. So the next thing you know, some guy's like out there acting like he's doing lines. And you're like, okay, no, we're not doing that. You can't do lines anymore. We're not going to allow that either. Okay, so the next game, the guy rolls up his sleeve and starts slapping his vein. And like, oh no, you can't do the hypodermic needle thing anymore. Like, just be a responsible person and like stop like testing the limits on what you can and can't do. Find something that makes sense, that's fun, that's easy, that's not related to a weapon. That's all. Like, you're the weapon guy. Get away from that so you're no longer the weapon guy and you can be viewed as the great player that you are. I can't wait till he gets traded to Sacramento and then I have this discussion with him.
Somebody asked why a bow and arrow is okay. And I will always come back to this. I think the reason that Ja Morant is being singled out is because he has twice been suspended for gun stuff. And then remember, too, there was the, like, Ja's people had lasers on opponents coming out of the tunnel after a game. There was that whole debacle.
Yeah.
Like, dude, there's, I know he's being picked on or whatever, but, like, there's a reason. The NBA didn't say, oh, we're just going to do this to Ja. It's like, nah, man. He has made, like, threats that he's going to do this. It just, but the grenade was funny. I would love to see the NBA, like, hey, that was a pin grenade that he lobbed. Here's a fine. Like I said, it's probably not the smartest thing, but at the same time, it's a little funny. Anyways.
All right.
He's James. I'm Kyle. Kenny Caraway is going to join us for the handoff next. D'Lo and Casey, no D'Lo, just Casey today, coming up at noon. Stay locked in here. It's ESPN 1320. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube on Sacramento Sports Theater.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader. Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Is that right? Keegan Murray's been upgraded to available? Is that confirmed?
I can check that right now.
Let's go check that. I got some breaking Kings news for you right here on ESPN 1320. Getting ready for the handoff. Kenny Caraway will be joining us today. Hopefully. I've not confirmed that. Is he here? Is Kenny here? Or is that thumbs up for Keegan being available?
I see him way over there. Keegan Murray has been upgraded to available.
Shout out to Keegan Murray. Well, that might change the way I want to do my underdog lineup, because let me tell you, James, my underdog lineup last night did not go well for me. Uh-huh. I went with the Braves-Phillies game, and it was Spencer Schwellenbach against Jesus Luzardo. I picked each pitcher to not give up a run in the first inning. That did not happen. There was a run scored in the first inning. And then I had Bryce Harper to go more than 1.5 total bases, and he did not do that. But luckily, with the NBA playoffs starting, it's a good time to jump on Underdog, because my favorite part with the NBA postseason with Underdog and Daily Fantasy, their pick 'em game, you pick higher or lower on at least two player stats. My favorite part about it is you get a feel for a series and you get a feel for certain matchups. And that's where you can really jump in and start to put together some winning lineups. So that is what I am looking to do starting tonight. I'm going Kings, Clippers. I'm leaving out baseball, but they have baseball, they have basketball, they have hockey. All your favorite teams, all your favorite leagues. Here's my lineup tonight. I'm going with James Harden. I am going higher than 24.5 points for James Harden. I think he's going to score a lot. DeMar DeRozan, I'm going back to the assist well with DeMar DeRozan. 4.5 assists. I'm going higher. I believe in you, DeMar. I believe that you can get 5 assists. And then Kawhi Leonard, higher than 35.5 points, rebounds, assists. Kawhi Leonard's been playing really well, and I'm not sure the Kings, even with Keegan Murray, are going to have a great answer for Kawhi Leonard. So I'm going higher than 35.5 points, rebounds, assists. That is my lineup for the Kings-Clippers game. I would love for you to join me. Download the Underdog app and sign up with promo code KYLEM to unlock a special offer of up to $1,000 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit. That's promo code KYLEM, K-Y-L-E-M. Now's the perfect time to join Underdog. Must be 18 plus and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/extend.html for details. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncbgambling.org. That had big, like, I was supposed to go to that URL and read off that URL instead of just reading the URL to everybody.
Oh.
Whoops.
All right. You got through it.
assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/extend.html.
Huh. That's crazy.
Very, very odd. I'm a little worried about my Kawhi pick now that Keegan's playing.
Yeah. Well, I think Kawhi's, I think Keegan's probably going to play a lot of minutes against James Harden.
So who's on Kawhi? Lyles?
Yeah, maybe Lyles. I think you might get DeRozan some minutes there because it's not like a speed thing. So it just depends if he's cooking. Whoever's cooking, I think you're going to get Keegan Murray.
Kenny Caraway. I want to run through this with you guys. I want to look at the Western Conference. I want to predict some records and how this is going to end. What do we think the Kings end up with?
40. I don't think they'll get both wins.
Yeah, I think they split them.
Yeah.
I definitely think they're beating the Suns. If they lose to the Suns, we've got a real problem on our hands. Mm-hmm. But I think they split these two. I don't think they get tonight's game. Just because, like I said, tough matchup. And on some level, there's the human element of desperation. Mm-hmm. And the Kings may go, you know, we want this game badly. The Clippers are like, we need this game. That's how I think they're going to be looking at it.
If you're the Kings, like, there is no reason not to win every single game that you can possibly win. Like we talked earlier,
for sure.
You know, the whole they could actually keep their pick and all that. That's kind of out the window at this point.
Like, 1,000%.
All of it's kind of out the window. You need to go in and try to win every game just because, I mean, that's like momentum matters. Winning games, stringing wins together, beating good teams, it matters. And so you're hoping that they have that same approach.
What'll be interesting is if the Clippers decide to not necessarily rest this game because their injury report doesn't indicate necessarily they're going to rest everybody. But if they go foot off the gas a little bit, knowing that they have a game against the Golden State Warriors coming up at Chase Center on Sunday, where if they win that one, they're good. Mm-hmm. I do wonder if they look at this game and go, okay, this isn't the one we necessarily need. We'll gear up to play the Warriors. The risk there is if they lose tonight and then lose to Golden State, they could wind up in the play-in.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm interested to see how they handle it. It's the handoff. Kenny Caraway, D'Lo and KC. No D'Lo today, just Kenny. What's going on?
What's going on, man? How you doing? I was listening earlier, like I always do, man. I'm always tapped in with the insiders.
Which we appreciate immensely.
Yeah, man. And you mentioned that tonight, Warriors fans are Kings fans.
Huge. You know what I mean?
Big time Kings fans.
Yeah.
So that only means one thing to me. Get Isaiah Crawford in there. Get Isaac Jones some minutes. Let's get Mason 40 minutes.
Just to mess with the Warriors fans.
Let's bring Derek Martin back. Get him a jersey.
I don't like this joke anymore. This is not fun for me.
That's funny.
No, man, that whole situation is crazy, man. That what is it? Probably, well, Lakers are 3, 4 through 8 is crazy. That's a crazy situation.
Like if Memphis, we're just going to do this. So the Lakers are going to be good. Mm-hmm. They'll be the 3 seed. The Nuggets have Memphis and Houston.
Mm.
Then the Clippers have Sacramento and Golden State, both on the road. Mm-hmm. Golden State has the Blazers tonight in Portland, and then the Clippers. The Grizzlies are at Denver, and then home against Dallas. Mm-hmm. And the Timberwolves get Brooklyn and Utah in Minnesota.
Yeah, Timberwolves, they're the only lock right there.
Timberwolves are getting to 49.
That Blazers game, a little sneaky. You never know how Denny might be feeling. I think the Warriors are going to win that game, though. I do think they're going to win that game, but it's a little sneaky.
Boy, if they trick that one.
Yeah. Okay, I did look this up.
The Spurs lost bad enough.
The Stockton Kings played on April 8th in the first game of the finals, and they lost 129-118. They play tonight at 7 o'clock, and this is game 2 of the G League finals. If they win this, there's a game 3, which is, I believe, the final game. I think it's 2 out of 3.
Mm. They're going to have to go through that game without Mason Jones. And they're going to have to go through that game without Isaiah Crawford. good luck, Stockton, because they're playing 35-plus tonight in Sacramento.
Both of those guys, just so we know, we're being straight here, they're both out due to G League assignment for tonight.
No, they're both out from the G League due to NBA assignment tonight. That's
I would like to see. Hey, like, go ahead and send Isaac Jones down there.
We're trying to screw the Warriors.
James, it's time for you to suit up. We That's need right. some James nope. Hammond.
No, I'm here for the 10-day contract.
Yes. No, they can go play in the NBA. I'll go play in the G League tonight.
Yeah.
I'll do that.
Well, the G League, it doesn't pay real well, Kenny. Well, that's not courtside Kenny money.
It's for the love of the game.
They ain't giving you no courtside Kenny money.
For the love of the game. The love of the game clause in my Odyssey contract.
I'll take that one that 145 for 10-day contract right
Hell
now.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I'm in.
How many points did you get in a G League game, Kenny?
Man, at 41 years old, not many. Those guys are really good.
That's
those,
crazy
those guys
to me,
really
you're
good.
41. That's so nuts to me.
Yeah, man, I'm up there. I'm getting up there. I'm aging like fine wine, though, man. I feel good.
That's what I thought you were, like, younger than me.
Yeah, 41. Turning 42 in, what is this, April? Probably about 3 months in July, cancer season. You know the vibes.
You know what? You know what I was thinking about the other day? I met you, Kenny, during the 2019 49ers season.
That's right. Was it the Steelers game? You were there, right?
Yeah, I think it was the Steelers game. That might have been the first time we met, but we would go down and we'd do these hits on post game with Bonte Hill and Butcher Boy because they were doing pre and post for the Niners at that point. And that was how we linked up. That was how we met.
Yeah.
And then when Danny in San Francisco was putting together this station, he was like, "Hey, what do you think about that Kenny guy?" Like, love Kenny. What? Why? What's the deal? And he's like, "Oh, nothing. Just kind of wondering."
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. So
I was like, yeah, salute.
What do you got? I'll tell the quickest story about that. So Bonte made the connection, gave me Danny's number. Was like, "Hey, you know, he's starting this. He's taking over the ESPN station. You know, do this." So I linked up with him. Danny calls me, just, you know, we had an impromptu interview, and I thought I bodied it. I thought I killed it or whatever. And I was like, man, there ain't nobody. He's talking about he wants somebody Sacramento. There's nobody that can, you know, do this the way I just did it. And that interview, I just killed it, man. And I was like, man, the only person that I could think of that might be, you know, has the qualifications and is good is Damian Barling. But I was listening to his podcast. He said he was done with radio. He said he ain't doing radio no more. So I should be in there. So a couple weeks go by and he goes like, "Hey, you know, we made a decision. Do you know who Damian Barling is?" I was like, "Oh, man, he said he was done with radio. What you doing going with him? What you doing going?" Because it was supposed to be one host.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, "What you doing going with him?" In my head. But I was like, "Yeah, I know who he is, man. I get it." And he's like, "Ah, I don't know, though, man. I just feel like if I'm going to do this, I need you a part of what we're doing after that conversation we had." And I was like the producer. I was like supposed to be like the Jesse to the show, and just all took it from there. Yeah. D-Lo was like, "We're not going to do that. Like, if you're going to be part of the show, then we're just going to be part of the show. It's not going to be the Damian Barling show and Kenny talks, you know, half the time." He's like, "Just make it a two-man show." And that's what happened.
Shout out to Danny.
Shout out to Danny, man. Danny Fry.
Oh, yeah.
It's my guy.
Love him. Yeah. Kings going to win tonight?
I hope not. I'm messing with you. I'm messing with you. You know what? The Clippers are a tough matchup. Even if they are 100% healthy, like, they're a tough matchup. The fact that they're not, like, Monk ain't there, LaRavia won't be there, we don't know about Keegan, it's looking tough for a Kings win tonight, man, because – between, like I said, listening earlier, the guys that you mentioned, the Norm Powells, the Kawhis, James, all those guys, it presents matchup problems, man. So it's going to be a tough one tonight at the Golden 1 Center.
Well, then Keegan's playing.
Keegan is in. Okay.
He just got cleared. He's available for tonight.
That helps. But like I said, even if everybody was there, it's a tough matchup. So it's going to be tough. It's a tough game tonight.
Yeah, I think so too.
D'Lo and KC, no D'Lo today. KC and friends, what do you got coming up?
Man, I think we got Kyle Madsen coming up.
You got Kyle Madsen coming up.
There we go. We got Dr. Luke Wood. He gonna pull up on us at 12:45. Oh. Sarah Hodges is in the building. Eddie Gonzalez, my man Coach JT. It really is KC and friends tonight, man, or today.
It's going to be a fun one. Stay locked in to ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. Kings play tonight. Kings play Sunday. The Insiders, me, James Hamm, Joe Brazil, will be back with you on Monday to break it all down and start looking ahead to the play-in tournament on the Insiders, 10 a.m. right here, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. Until Monday at 10 a.m., drink water, be nice to people. See ya!